If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
Yeah, I feel like newsletters and podcast hosts are like kind of the new mixtape DJs and VJs in a lot of ways. This is kind of like my version of a kind of curatorial spin on what's happening.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. I am excited to be here today with my new friend, Jesse Kirschbaum. Jesse is the CEO and founder of New Agency. They help artists break through by crafting campaigns that connect music with culture and brands. He's built accelerators like Sound Control, Crown, and The Patch. And I'm excited to have him on the podcast today to talk a little bit about the cross-section between culture, music, and analytics, and how you can position who you are and your music and your story along with kind of the bigger wave of what's happening around you. So, Jesse, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here and really nice to connect with you, Michael, and excited to chat.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I didn't mention in the intro too is, if I remember correctly, you have the most widely read newsletter on LinkedIn for this stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, I really live in the intersection of music, technology, and brand partnerships. So My agency is doing all sorts of these deals on a pretty regular basis, but then I chronicle it and put a POV around it, and it's the biggest music and brand newsletter on LinkedIn, and then also even bigger subscribership through my distribution, and then also it's syndicated on Celebrity Access. So it reaches a pretty wide audience. It's a weekly. I scour about 1,000 articles, select 100 to read, and then pick 10 basically each week to share so that not everybody has to read everything going on in the space. I can give you a great digest, and it's really like going to the trends gym for me, but also it's a give back, a love letter, so to speak, to the music business each week.
Awesome. Man, what a valuable resource. And very needed in today's day and age, where there's so much information. We really need ways to kind of channel it down and kind of get it to the least amount that we really need in order to take action.
Yeah, I feel like newsletters and podcast hosts are like kind of the new mixtape DJs and VJs in a lot of ways. This is kind of like my version of a kind of curatorial spin on what's happening, and I was growing up in New York loving the mixtape scene and like making mixtapes and playlists. I still do all the time for friends and colleagues, but This is kind of feels like the new age mixtape. I get to, you know, put my shout outs in there. I get to put my, highlight the tracks, break new news, tell stories, tell my stories. It's a lot of fun, and it keeps me very, very sharp.
Hmm. Cool. Oh, I like that that analogy. It seems like a very natural journey, kind of going from mixtapes and creation to sort of creating a modern day mixtape of the music industry. Cool. Well, we'd love to hear a little bit more about your backstory in terms of starting this, and how you came to create the world's most widely viewed newsletter on LinkedIn.
My background is in finding and representing talent. So I pretty early on realized I wanted to be in the music business, well, at least in college, and started studying business and started studying marketing, started studying international relationships, and hustled my way into internships and just really fell in love with this business and just noticing that this is just such a dynamic, exciting industry. And there's so much to learn. You get to work with so many different creative people. And I was trying to figure out what my kind of foothold would be. And so the early part of my career, I was going to go to law school, and a family friend was explaining to me, who was a lawyer, you're already throwing parties, you're already in the mix, you should be an agent. It's the best way to learn and to work with talent. And so I got a job at a boutique talent agency at 22, and I basically was told, you're not going the old school route, you're not going through the, big William Morris CAAs, and if you can sign acts yourself, we'll let you represent them. So I thought that was appealing to me, to kind of go with this indie spirit and to be able to work with talent and not, give my 20s up to being in a mailroom, to being on a desk, and then maybe eventually, if I make it through the obstacle course, I have a chance to start representing artists and actually making something happen. So I did that. I worked at a boutique, and I was an agent and an agent's assistant. I was a better agent than I was an agent's assistant. And I signed the Clips when I was 23. And they went number 2 on the pop charts and toured with Pharrell and toured with Pharrell was their producer. And we, toured with Nelly all throughout arenas, and Jay-Z all throughout Europe, and 50 Cent in the college market, right when 50 Cent was coming out. And that was basically my entree and entry point into really representing talent. And I did that for some time. And then I started my own agency in 2007, representing talent and coming at it with a new spin, which is why we call it New Agency. And in that model, I was finding artists early and helping them break. Was really focused on the college market, which I thought was a niche that was kind of underserviced at the time by the bigger agencies, and also the tech market, and befriending the kind of next evolution of the tech business, who I thought were like going to be the saviors to the music business. So I had a different approach than like the hell with Spotify. I was helping Spotify launch in the US and was representing them for the college market. And so ultimately, I represented artists for about 7-8 years, had a lot of luck, had a lot of success, represented artists like Wale, represented artists like Mike Posner, represented Logic, White Panda, which is now Griffin, Action Bronson, 2AM Club, which is now spawned Mark Bassey as a solo artist, Chitty Bang, Pusha T, J. Cole, Big Sean. I was working with all of those artists really early and right out of college, essentially, and booking like their mixtape tours and their live tours and their House of Blues tours and their big headlining tours when they had number one albums. So I was an agent for about 8 years. And then I changed my business model to representing brands, because I was already talking to so many brands, and I was a first line of defense for so many of these artists with brands, and I was making brand relationships. And I just felt like at a certain point in my life, I wanted to make this kind of creative rebrand and shift. And I started putting together music and tech events and started meeting folks in the music and tech space. And I started representing brands. You mentioned Sour Patch Kids, the Patch House. We launched a whole program for them, which ran for 3 years, helping emerging artists and putting them in these kind of well thought out houses. Before there was influencer houses, before there was all these kind of hype houses, there was the Patch program, which really was a fresh way to support artists, isolating a pain point, giving them a place to stay while touring. And they were creating all this great content around Sour Patch Kids, who at the time saw themselves as an emerging candy brand in the space. They were, you know, based on Cabbage Patch Kids, they were kind of a new player compared to Skittles and Gummy Worms. And by the end of this 3 year run, they became the number one candy in the category. And so obviously eventually they had to rethink their strategy and campaign, but we had so many great artists that were on their like first run staying at the Sour Patch Kids houses. And all of that, you know, now doing that model for about 8 years is very entrepreneurial, work with a whole bevy of great brands and come at it from the artist representation lens, because I used to rep artists. I understand their sensibility. I understand what they like. I know what it's like in their team early on as they grow. And so it allows me to kind of be able to create these type of partnerships and bring brand dollars and usher brands into the music business in a strategic way. And I think all of that has just led me to have more of a following and more of an audience. And really the way the newsletter, to kind of circle back to your question, has become so influential is just the consistency, the inside information, the hustle, the POV, the work. You know, this is not an overnight success. Sometimes these take 10, 20 years to really land that type of understanding and recognition. And so that's basically how it's come together. It's really just a kind of like consistent evolution from representing artists to representing brands to telling these stories using the power of technology as the great accelerant.
Cool, man. Thank you for sharing. That is a very impressive journey. It sounds like a few different phases that you've even gone through of reinventing yourself and then creating success and complementary, but also like kind of different roles. And it seems like a big plus one to just the overall concept of learning by doing and jumping in, you know, rather than as you described, like going and you're doing something for 10 years so that at some point you could kind of figure out how to do it. You just like started out of the gate, 22 years old, doing it, putting, you know, getting your hands, you know, in, which is awesome. So having this perspective now, I mean, you have a great background from where things have come from in the past couple of decades, you know, with the music industry and what's happening right now. I've heard that when people are interviewed, they always feel like they're in a state of like massive transition. So maybe this is just always the way it is. It's like, oh, we're always in like a big transition, but it certainly feels like right now with AI and technology, it's just like explosive in a very like novel way. And so I would love to hear your perspective as someone that is so tapped in to the finger on the pulse of the industry trends, both where we came from, what's happening right now, and you're keeping yourself sharp with all these different sources. What do you see as sort of like the defining problem of the current season that we're in right now? And based on that, where things are headed to solve that problem?
Yeah, I look at these 2020s and this era as really defined as the great transformation. And in this transformation, it's really kind of made up of a couple elements. One is this creator economy boom that we're seeing, especially coming off of a COVID era, and mixing that with AI and this ability to have all of these creative tools and huge content engines and supercomputer machinery behind us is just leading to a rapid change in the way we're all connecting, creating, culture in general. It's all being defined in this kind of like roaring 2020s, thanks to those three elements with a bunch of other macro elements too, with political and regimes and world-changing dynamics and stuff like that. But I really kind of focus in on those three areas as like what's going to define the 2020s. If you look at the 2010s, it was really all about the recession of 2008, the gig economy, which defined all of these great companies like Uber and Venmo and Airbnb and Pinterest. They all came out of that gig economy era. Right now, we're in the creator economy era. This is good news for music and musicians and creators and podcasters and influencers in general, because there's a much better mechanism for brands and brand dollars and revenue streams to be able to come into the music business, because musicians are the ultimate creators. They're the influencers with talent. They make something. They're not just with cute eyelashes or, famous because they're really good at posting. They make this amazing art that's very transformable or transferable. It moves at the speed of sound and is almost like a Trojan horse for music creators and music influencers and musicians that want to play by the rules of the creator economy. The problem that we see, especially with all this AI now making it even faster and all of these creators becoming a full-on job and career path for so many people, is there's so much noise. It is no longer just an era of like being played on MTV or, getting on the radio and that's the kind of ticket. If you're there, then you've made it. And if not, you don't. Now there's so many different ways to make a living, but there's so much competition for your attention. So how do you break through the noise and how do you actually make your voice heard and felt and monetize it in a way where you can make a living, sustain a career, sustain a lifestyle, do what you love? I think that is the biggest issue we're seeing here in this kind of creator economy and in the music business in particular, is like, how do you get people to care? And it's very easy to be an amateur musician right now, probably easier than ever, especially with these AI tools. And it's, the top artists are even in more demand because of the fact that like it's just kind of become a more elite process to work with really notable producers and songwriters and hit makers. So the biggest of the big are really succeeding and the kind of long tail are having this kind of glorious moment. But we're seeing some issues in most of the economy in this middle class area, and middle class musicians and middle class content creators are really kind of getting the shaft in a lot of ways. So I think the big issues we need to figure out is how to help people cut through the noise, how to make their message really connect, and then how to kind of be able to flow some of these opportunities into this like really sophisticated, talented musician that isn't necessarily, on the top of the charts, but is steps above an amateur and really wants to make it their career and their life and dedicate to their craft.
Yeah, that's so good. That was probably one of the best articulated summaries, I think, of the current state of the industry that I've heard in a long time, which makes sense because, this is kind of like your purpose for being here, what you do with your newsletter. But just for context, Jesse, that's basically what you just described is the reason that we exist as a platform. We earlier this year, we launched a software as a service called Street Team. That's sort of like if Discord and Patreon and Facebook groups had a baby, but instead of Mark Zuckerberg owning the baby, the artist owns their fan relationships and they're able to connect directly through email, text messages, etc. So just for that context, that's basically our purpose for being here, is to create that platform to help service this need. And based on your experience and based on the current state that we're in right now that you described as, artists struggling to cut through the noise because it's easier than ever to make music. There's more music than ever. There's AI generated music. And so just so much noise, learning how to actually cut through and build a relationship, connect with people is challenging. I'm curious what you would recommend for artists who might be listening or watching this right now who are kind of at this earlier stage in their career where let's imagine that they do have amazing music. They have like three songs they feel really proud of. They've put in the time, the effort. They have three amazing songs. And now they're like, okay, how do I build a community? How do I make this sustainable? How do I monetize it? What would be some recommendations you'd have for them to help them to start cut through the noise?
Well, first they have to make a decision. What kind of artist do they want to be? Like, this is brand building 101. I know it's annoying to think, but like, I made this, it should get out into the world. But no, that's not how it works in 2025. This is an era where you have to put your music out there. You have to think like a brand. Brands, I always tell, have to think like musicians, creative forces, beacons that'll tour and connect to their fans in so many great ways and make their music for their fans in some regards. Sometimes they're making it for themselves. But you got to go back to branding 101 to 301, essentially, and really understand your values, what matters to you, what you want to do, and what you want to stand for, what you want to be affiliated with. You really have to understand yourself. What do you want? Once you have that, and let's say you want to get your music heard by as many people as possible, and that's your goal, right? Then you have to understand that that's not just going to happen with you putting it up on TikTok or you putting it on Spotify. You have to go and work that project, and you have to work it in what works for you, for your audience, for your potential to grow your audience. So you have to really be thinking about content and content creation and what that looks like and what's working out there and what isn't. A music video for MTV was what it was in the 90s. And now, I mean, Ed Sheeran's releasing an album next week, and the same music video he's putting out has 8 different iterations. It's the teaser to the music video. It's the lyric video. It's the actual version of the music video. It's the behind the scenes version of it. It's the memeable one that, you know, he puts up for creators to kind of post on TikTok. And I break this all down, and, you know, I think my summer H2, you know, second half trend report. But I think that it's not about just making a thing and hoping it gets out there. You have to position yourself to be a part of the cultural scroll. And that might be in partnerships with brands, collaborations with other artists, collaborations with other creators, and also just understanding that the best ideas are shareable in this environment. So how do I make my music, my content, my message in a way that other people will talk about it and share it? And that's work. That's work, that's strategy, that's understanding. It's already a lot to make the music and to pour your heart and soul into a track, but to know that that is such a runway or like a first step or an important component, but not even close to a full picture of what you've got to be thinking about if you really want to connect and you want your music to connect in this day and age.
Good stuff. Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is that easily the most important thing to start with is getting a better understanding of who you are and what you stand for, your values, your brand identity. If you don't know that, then it's like you don't even know what arena you should be playing in. Once you have a better understanding of, you know, exactly who you are, what you stand for, your values, what you want to say, your purpose, then you want to start looking at externally what's happening in the world right now that resonates with that brand. What are some cultural movements and other brands that have a similar identity? And then start building relationships with those brands and aligning, you know, with them to collaborate on sharing the music and probably augmenting their brand through your music. And it sounds like you have some great resources as well in terms of trend reports that people should check out to go deeper into some of the tactics and strategies.
And that's well said. Is that right? I think so. I think in between those two steps is also how much are you willing to put yourself out there? How much are you willing to give to putting your music out there, right? Making the music is one thing, and then understanding who you are and where you want to go is the other, but in, or who else connects to where you are. But the bridge between that is how much work do you want to do as a content creator? How much do you want to understand, like, how deep do you want to go into the world of being a content creator? And are you willing to take those steps? Because that is going to be the differentiator in getting to being able to connect with all these people and people wanting to connect with you, is if you're really doing that work. And so I think you also have to make that commitment to realize that being a musician in 2025 is also being a content creator and, you know, an influential voice on social media, and knowing that these tools are going to be very important to relevance and connectivity to fans and growing your audience.
Awesome. I mean, that's a great line that, or thread I would love to pull a little bit deeper, especially with someone like yourself who has so much experience, you know, collaborating and working with artists like Jay-Z, who have literally become such a force or such a movement, you know, in culture. So I guess the question is, when you describe that level of commitment and desire and will and really the dedication, you know, to kind of show up, I'm curious, like, where do you think that comes from? Is that something you can cultivate? And are the people that you've worked with, like, do they have rituals or practices through which they cultivate that level of desire or will? Or where do you think that comes from?
I think a lot of being a star is just an it factor. And I think that could be from various places. It could be how they were raised. It could be their friends. It could be their friend experiences. It could just be like a chip inside of them that just gives them that like passion or that will to persevere. I think, you know, a lot of the times when you're with these super high performing people, like, oh yeah, there's a reason why they're there and so many aren't. But I think what it also comes down to is willing to put the training in, willing to learn CapCut, willing to learn editing tools, willing to learn different techniques that work on social, willing to make content over and over again for the algorithm and put yourself out there. It's exhausting, and I think it's skills that you can learn. Skills that you might just also have, but it's that kind of perfect storm. I love that phrase where hard work beats talent most of the time. And I think it's especially true. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work. So you've really got to understand that there's crafts that now surround your musical talents that are going to help you put your music out there and connect. And there's a whole suite of tools that are always evolving. I mean, the music AI space is so freaking exciting, and there's so many amazing things at your fingertips, and also on social, and also on editing, and also how the algorithms work, and which platform you best belong on. I think all of those things are learnable. And you almost got to have to go to YouTube University and pick up those skills in terms of like understanding the new technology and being where you need to be for that craft. But I think, you know, being a star and writing a great song and so much of that is really context. It's really about timing. It's about who you're speaking to, what you're speaking about, when you're speaking about it. It's really like the world of content and distribution are really important. I always kind of joke about this axiom that first time founders and, you know, probably first time artists are really obsessed with the content and really making a great product. And second time founders, if you're a startup, is really focused on distribution. If you can't get in Walmart and Target and CVS, your product could be great, but it's never going to reach its potential. So you need to be able to have the pipes. You need to be able to know where to go and how to move your music and content through so that it gets attention. But really, the most important thing in this environment is context. In an algorithmic world where you could have 20 followers and you could make this thing, this video that's very resonant, you could get hundreds of millions of views with just a very small following because you can kind of break through the algorithm with the right piece of content at the right time, telling the right story. So I think context is just something you really need to know. And that goes back to what you were saying as kind of point two. What is the environment? Once you understand who you are and the skills and work ethic you're going to put in, then the question is, where do you belong? Where does your message belong? What can you speak about with a strong POV? Where can you make content that's going to be relevant for this age, that's going to connect and connect to your music? I think context is the most important thing right now and very hard to translate, and because everything's so nuanced. A video 5 years ago could resonate right now if it's edited in the right environment. And, you know, that's why memes are in many ways the poetry of our time. Like, if you define the 2020s, like, meme culture is driving the stock market. Meme culture is driving the political forces. Meme culture is what makes ideas and concepts really relevant. Those are the water cooler moments. Those are the big kind of crossover things. So that's all context. That's a picture with a, you know, the right phrase or the right layer of understanding tied to the right thing that makes it extremely relevant and viral in the moment. And I'm not saying everyone needs to be viral. That should be the goal of a musician. But if the goal was to be heard by as many people as possible, to have your music heard by as many people as possible, then these are tactics that I would be approaching with.
Mm, super smart. It's so interesting, like meme culture in general. And was it Richard Dawkins who kind of popularized the idea of like the meme and described, if I understand it correctly, like memes as, like, obviously we think of memes as like a funny like joke or a picture or something, but really what it represents is sort of this like cultural, almost an entity or like a living like moment or a movement or something that, you know, resonates for a certain reason. And would love to hear your advice. Or like you described, obviously it's like a nuanced thing and it's evolving rapidly and the context changes, you know, but if you were an artist right now, and let's say that you had done this inner work to, you know, kind of identify who you are, your brand identity, your values, and you, now you're kind of looking at how do I create content that has the best odds of catching with the people that I care, with the right people, you know, and you start looking at some of these cultural movements or these memes, what would you recommend that they do to get started?
I would pick the one that makes sense and jump in and maybe try to tie it back to yourself, but doesn't necessarily have to be. I would look at trending topics on Twitter, on Google. I would find stories that make sense. I would cherry pick the ones that really could resonate, if it's with a song, a single, a tour date, a funny concept, something that resonates with you. I wouldn't be inauthentic. I think that would be a mistake. I think how you can put your brand creative spin, your POV on what's happening in the moment is very valuable context to getting your message out, getting your songs into the cultural zeitgeist. So every one of these memes, they're happening at the US Open, they're happening at the VMAs, they're happening at Fashion Week, you know, that's this week alone. You look at them, you see what they are, and then put your spin on it. Like, why somebody would look this way when they hear your song, or, you know, what it looks like when they hear this lyric, or what it feels like when they're walking in the door of your show in, you know, New Jersey this weekend. Like, all sorts of these kind of memes are what the algorithms love, and it's, you know, what's trending topic, and it puts you right in the conversation. And again, you don't know which ones are going to resonate. So you need to look at it like you got to take a lot of swings. And in some ways, it's a numbers game. You know, unfortunately, the social graph is not about posting once a week. It's about posting multiple times a day. And so you have to kind of figure out what your strategy is and what resonates. But there's so much context. There's so many conversations. There's so many trending topics that you can jump in. And there's just not many musicians that are doing this well. And so I think it's a cool opportunity because, again, musicians aren't just going to put a spin on things. Musicians actually make music about this type of stuff. Musicians actually can create this. Musicians can actually tour it in a music venue. They can put these things on screen. They can create real life experiences. And so they just have such an edge over so many of these other creators in this like booming creator economy that's defining the 2020s. So I look at it and I'm like, musicians should be making songs about this. Musicians should be putting their music in this type of stuff. There's just a lot of cool ways to do this tastefully, but also of the moment. And I love it. I love that you can take your song down from Spotify and change it and put it back up. But it's just we're all kind of like living, breathing organisms. So if, you know, like Richard Branson once said, if you're not embarrassed, or I think it was actually Reid Hoffman said, if you're not embarrassed by your first iteration, you shipped too late. And so I think we can all change and evolve. And, you know, if you need to take your stuff down and rebrand, like that's a big part of the game. I just think you need to be putting yourself out there in a strategic manner and, you know, really trying to add context to why people should care and why this matters. And I think that would be a smart approach to creating and cutting through the noise and being a part of the conversation, getting more people looking and talking about your music and your artistry.
Awesome. That makes a lot of sense. So what I'm hearing you say is that you got to start by identifying, having like a message worth sharing or something that actually matters and having a voice, a unique voice or point of view. And one of the best ways to kind of plug in with the channel of what's currently trending, what's the world talking, what's the conversation people are having, is just by entering the conversation and seeing what are the conversations in the first place, and then seeing which parts do you actually have an opinion on, or do you resonate with, or kind of moves you one way emotionally or the other, and then actually just having the courage to share your point of view and framing it. And I love the idea you shared around using your music as like a vehicle through, like when you have one of those strong points of view that's relevant to the current zeitgeist, writing a song about it and sharing the song. It's like a it just seems like such a obvious way to plug into the trends that are happening right now in a way that's authentic, to you and your voice. But you're right. I feel like I don't see that very often, but it makes sense in hindsight, kind of looking at artists that have their big cultural, moments. When you're looking for like a point of view or the right you're looking at the different trends and you have opinion or a strong emotional reaction to something, how do you determine which are the right point of views that are worth sharing and focusing on and creating, songs and things about versus ones that's like, maybe I should avoid that? Is it just the strength of your reaction to it or how you feel about it? Or like, what are the ones that you'd recommend an artist who is kind of going through this process really latch onto?
I think what resonates for them, I think it's really about that. I mean, I wouldn't do something that's like too explicit or too like racy, in so to speak, because I think that would probably deter a lot of brands. But I think finding what you stand for, and if it might be the walkout music to the New York Mets, and it might be peace in the Middle East. I think whatever matters to you, should be what you should be talking about. And I think you can make really tailored, kind of pointed conversations about that. And I don't think it has to just be serious. I think it could be fun. It could be, you know, breakfast on Sunday. It could be, I think all these, you know, ideas are really catchy to some extent with the right context, right? In a vacuum, who cares about what you had on breakfast on Sunday? But if it's, you know, Super Bowl Sunday and everybody's sharing, you know, you go on TikTok and it's a big hashtag is share what you ate on Sunday, you can make something really special to that. So I think you want to, in some regards, not be like fully trend riding, but I think when it comes to trying making your music more relatable, the trends could be your friends. And I think look at them and see where it resonates, but move fast, because you got to remember that the moving at the speed of culture is important. If you're talking about last week's trend this week, it might be a little late to the party. Sometimes these things catch further. Sometimes there are bigger stories. You just don't know, which is why I think in a lot of ways you want to try a couple different things. You might be the 10th idea that actually connects, but you can't look at it like once I connect, I'm done either, right? Like once you connect, it's game on, right? Now you know what's working. You've got good feedback. Now you got to go, you know, even bigger, right? I think everybody right now wants to be connected to heightened, superstar, aspirational people. So it's, I think if your persona, I think you got to kind of elevate your stage persona, even in your content, if you want people to be like, this person deserves to stand out. So you might be quiet, you know, when you're having lunch with your partner, but when the cameras are on, you got to be thinking like, I'm putting a show on for these people. And so I would approach it with that standpoint too. I would be like tapping into the alter ego and really going all out like you would on stage at Madison Square Garden.
Mm. Good stuff. And the one phrase you said there, I think it was like somewhat, I don't think it was like it was meant to rhyme, but you said like the trends could be your friends. And I was just like,
trends could be your friends. Yeah.
Cool. Jesse, it's been great connecting today. I really appreciate you being here on the podcast and sharing your kind of finger on the pulse of what's happening right now, and also kind of the different waves they've experienced in the past, how that's kind of led to a crest today. Some really great insights and advice, I think, for artists who are listening to this right now in terms of where to swim along with the current, but do it in a way that's authentic to their voice. In terms of taking next steps, or anyone who resonated with this and wants to stay plugged in, and they're like, man, if only there was some kind of resource that helped me kind of stay on top of the trends in the music industry and help me understand how to, you know, swim along with it. If only that existed. But wait, you know, it does. You've created it. Could you share a little bit more for anyone that's here right now who wants to dive deeper and connect more with you or subscribe to the newsletter, what you'd recommend to them go for the next step?
Absolutely. My newsletter is called Beats and Bytes, and it's a, again, weekly curatorial spin on what's happening in the world of music and brands. Really, that's my lane. I'm kind of focused on the multi-hyphenate of music, brands, and technology. That's where I live. And that's the information that I'm sharing. These could be strategies. These could be case studies. These could be partnerships. It's every week in your inbox. There's a lot more to digest if you want to talk about it. You can find it on all of my socials, my LinkedIn, my Instagram, my Twitter. Everything connects. There's a link to sign up for the newsletter. So my recommendation would be, if you want to be on the pulse, or if you feel like you need to be on the pulse, I'm doing that work for you. And I'm happy to, you know, give you the benefit of my expertise. And I'm doing this all day, every day. I love this business. I love this industry. I think musicians are the coolest in the world. They're so creative. They're forces. They've got great ideas. They've got amazing fan bases. They can shift culture probably better than most out here. And I think that I've been in the business my whole career, my whole professional adult life, and I plan on staying in it as long as I can. It's always ebbing and flowing. It's super dynamic. But at the end of the day, all day long, I get to listen to music, talk about music, go to cool concerts, shows, events, and synthesize my thoughts to hopefully help more people and build out elaborate strategies to help more and more brands figure out how to work with music in an effective way.
Awesome. Well, Jesse, like always, I'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access for folks who want to dive deeper. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast.
It was a pleasure, Michael. Thanks for reaching out. And I hope everybody found this information useful. And it was a lot of fun jamming with you. And hopefully more to come.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.